Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. In May 2014, in Redford Township, Michigan, a 10-month-old dog named Rock was shot and killed while in his backyard by a police officer. Now, the reports indicate the officer was chasing a suspect on foot when he entered the backyard, and then the dog approached him, whereupon he shot the dog. Now, there are a few details available beyond the claim by the officer that the dog charged him and feared for his safety. The guardians of the dog are obviously distraught and said there was no way Rock the dog would have acted aggressively and that he was a very affectionate dog. In response to this incident, legislation has been introduced which would, quote, require initial and periodic training regarding the handling of dogs and other pet animals by law enforcement officers during the law enforcement situations. The training shall, at a minimum, include instruction in recognizing animal behavior to reduce encounters with dogs and other pet animals and appropriate non-lethal means of dealing with those animals when designated animal control officers are not available. End quote. Here to discuss this incident and related cases is attorney and former Los Angeles animal cruelty prosecutor Bob Ferber. Welcome, Bob.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm great. Bob, it seems that we read about these cases all the time. Are these frequent occurrences where a family pet is felt to be threatening and then killed by law enforcement in the heat of the moment?
Well, there have been studies around. Some police departments maintain statistics, but most don't. But the studies that I've read, some of which focused on LAPD and the Sheriff's Department of LA County, I found out that it's actually surprisingly low number compared to what the average person thinks. That doesn't mean that it's not acceptable, that it is acceptable, the numbers, but some people have told me, oh, it's thousands and thousands of dogs in LA are killed every year. It's actually several dozen. But in most of those cases, my experience in reviewing the reports I've had a chance to look at is that it was not only avoidable, in some cases, just inexcusable.
Right.
And in fact, the way I found out about this, Lori, was, about 20 years ago, talking to an old-time narcotics officer, and Jim, real sort of up against the wall and that kind of cop, and he was telling me that he loved animals, and as tough as he was as a narcotics officer, and it disturbed him that when they would go out on search warrants, they had no assistance, no training on encountering an animal. And in fact, what really got my attention, he said there are cops and police departments that look forward to this, the opportunity to shoot their gun to kill an animal. Most cops do not get to shoot a gun really in real life most of their careers. And while this is clearly a minority, you know, this is not good behavior. And so he wondered, what can we do about it? And that's where how I started getting interested in this, because it clearly, even if it's one too many, it's, you know, you and I have talked before that in many ways the way to analyze animal laws and animal issues is to think of children. And who would accept in a community an avoidable shooting of a baby because it crawled out from behind a wall during a search warrant?
Bob, what happens when a family pet is shot at and injured or killed by an officer? Is there a review? Is the officer's statement taken as fact?
Well, excellent question. And there's a legal problem that virtually nobody's aware of. Every police department has a lawyer or a set of lawyers that represent them in lawsuits. These are not criminal prosecutors, but civil lawyers that whenever the cop is police department sued, they go to court. When a dog shooting happens, police are trained, just like in any incident, not to tell anybody, not to speak publicly about it, to actually clam up. That's a bad term, but just not to discuss it, not to tell anybody. And this is for fear of liability and that now a possible lawsuit's coming up, so police are told don't discuss it. And the ramifications of this are that when people, I've seen cases where people have come home from work and there's a dead dog in their front yard, their dog, and they call up the police department, and this actually happened with LAPD, they wouldn't even acknowledge that anything happened.
Oh, my God.
And the person spent 2 to 3 days desperately trying to find out, even if the police had shot the dog.
Wow.
And when I inquired, I found out that there were attorneys in my office, which I understand, said to the police in general, if anything happens, don't speak. And when the family tried to get copies of the reports or any acknowledgement, even much less an apology or an explanation, they're met with silence. And there's nothing, few things that are as frustrating and upsetting in those situations as the inability of, you know, an owner of an animal, a caregiver, who cannot even find out what happened, much less whether or not it was justified.
Wow. Now, Bob, the bill introduced in Michigan would indicate that there's no training currently being given to police officers in dealing with animals. What is the training like across the country?
It's virtually non-existent. Years ago, I worked with a wonderful woman, in Amelia Kaplan, with Voice for the Animals, a rescue group in West L.A., and she facilitated an incredible 2-day training session with LAPD. Now, when we set this up, we tried to get, the officers were promised, anybody who volunteered, that they would get credit, like continuing education credit, but they had to do it on their own time, and they weren't going to get paid. We actually were amazed that we got almost 100 officers that were interested in doing this. We did an incredible 2-day training where we had officers go to the shelter. They had classroom training. Experts from around the country actually came and talked to them about legal issues. But what was really shocking to me, these officers, who were some of them very experienced, had no idea what to do in front of a dog. Most of them had never grown up with a dog. We brought them into the shelters, and the moment any dog went up to the cage and barked, the officers would remark that, well, this dog I would have to shoot. And then we would open up cages, and these dogs would jump on the cops with their paws around them, kissing them. And the police were absolutely stunned. And it's not... It's, you know, I guess it could be understood that you may not have ever grown up with a dog, but to be in law enforcement and encounter animals in a regular, you know, daily, just in your travels during the day, and have no training at all as to how to recognize a dog that is barking at you because they want a treat, or because they're just a little nervous, or because they really are aggressive. And so most officers, and because of this accountability problem of the police almost being afraid to acknowledge that this stuff goes on, what ends up happening is there's almost a sort of a cloak of silence of let's not worry about it. And you know, all those officers, by the way, this was so sad, after 2 days of taking time off and learning tremendous amount, and they couldn't believe how much they had learned about recognition of body language, of how to deal with a dog in non-lethal ways, LAPD's training psychologist said, this is a waste of time, this isn't really worthy of any credit, and the officers were denied credit for the 2 days.
Oh, that's too bad. That's terrible.
Yeah. Now, in many states, they are starting to, this led to draft legislation like what you talked about. I think it's an excellent idea. It's long overdue. And one of the things that Melia Kaplan and I tried to implement, but unfortunately, the momentum was lost with the police chief at that time. We were going to create an ombudsman system where when a shooting happens, in spite of the legal problems of the police talking to the public about it, at the very least there'd be a representative that would contact the family, explain what little they could explain, let them know the process, that eventually this information will come out, there will be an investigation, and I think most importantly, we were developing a panel of bereavement experts who would be available 24/7. So that if somebody in the community sees this, they and their family have immediate access to counseling to work through this. So, but unfortunately, it was, you know, with some, just like other training we've discussed about animal cruelty and neglect, police departments around the country still are not getting the picture that this is a necessary training. It's not fluff. And certainly your listeners know this. If there's a shooting in a neighborhood of a dog, everybody learns about it.
Right.
And everybody wants to know why.
Right.
And public relations-wise, it's really a no-brainer for police to be trained a little bit in this. So I hope to see it as more and more the media covers it. And I do think there'll be a day when we will see much better responses to police seeing dogs in the community.
Very good. Attorney and former Los Angeles animal cruelty prosecutor Bob Ferber, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals. And here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
back to animals today. All too often we hear pleas on behalf of dogs and cats in need of urgent veterinary care, like surgery after an accident. Now, these urgent requests almost follow a script. This animal broke her leg, and her guardian simply cannot afford to cover the unexpected cost for the care she needs. So she faces euthanasia unless $2,500 can be raised by Friday. So now, how should we react when we hear these requests? Of course, they pull at our heartstrings, but realistically, how can we tell if the request is genuine, that there's an actual needy family in a crisis situation with their dog or cat? And how can we be assured that donated funds will be used properly and wisely? Today, we are pleased to welcome Brooke Haggerty. Brooke is Executive Director of the FACE Foundation, that is the Foundation for Animal Care and Education, whose mission is to enhance and preserve the quality of life of animals by providing access to necessary medical care and education. Welcome to the program, Brooke.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Brooke, what is FACE and why was it started?
FACE is a nonprofit organization that was started to help families who came to the dilemma of having to put their pet to sleep simply because of financial hardship and limitations. It's what we've termed economic euthanasia, when family pets are put down or euthanized simply because funds aren't available and veterinary care is getting so expensive that a group of veterinarians back in 2006 realized what a need there was for help for these families.
Fantastic. And Brooke, how does the organization operate?
FACE has really got it down to a science. We have a board of directors that oversees our foundation, and a few of our board members are on our granting committee, which are the people that decide who we can help and, unfortunately, who we can't. But we have criteria that we follow, and basically what we do is provide financial grants for pets in immediately life-threatening situations. So FACE helps if the pet truly needs this surgery or procedure in order to live. And we also screen applicants financially. We do require paperwork from each family we help proving hardship. And so families submit this paperwork, and veterinary hospitals that partner with us submit their records showing that this is a life-threatening situation. And once FACE gets our application together, we have an approval within the hour on whether or not to move forward with surgery. So we really understand the time sensitivity of these cases and move very quickly to save the life.
Wow. Describe your relationships with the animal hospitals and veterinarians. How do you develop and maintain them?
Yeah, FACE, we love our veterinary partners. We work with over 100, and they are a very important, a crucial aspect of what we do. Most of the time, our relationships begin when a client has a pet that's sick or injured and does some searches, some Googling to see what options are out there, and unfortunately, there aren't many, but they introduce their veterinary partner to us, or their hospital to us, rather. And the hospital works with us to save the life, and oftentimes we go out into the community and introduce ourselves to veterinary hospitals. Our goal is to make sure that every hospital in our county knows exactly who we are and that we're a resource for them and their clients. And once they're aware of us, it's really a fantastic relationship. They know to call us anytime they think they have a client that might need our help. And in fact, most of our hospitals fundraise for us. They have donation jars out on their counters. They help with our events, and they also generously discount their services for FACE cases by 25%.
Brooke, in what geographic areas do you offer assistance?
We work within all of San Diego County. There are actually over 300 veterinary hospitals just within our county. So we have our work cut out for us here. And once we make sure that everyone knows that we're a resource here, that's when we'll consider expansion or moving outward to help even more people.
And tell us about your track record of helping needy families and their animals.
Yeah, well, I am pleased to say that FACE just saved our 1,000th life.
Wow.
Last month.
Wow.
Yeah. Our first grant was given in 2007, and we have grown and grown each year. And just last month, we hit that milestone, and it's been really heartwarming. We field thousands of calls. We, you know, unfortunately, if people don't meet our criteria, we can't move forward with the application process. However, we still help them. So if a family needs help with a spay and neuter, we get them to the right resource. If they haven't been to a vet yet, we find them a low-cost veterinarian. And so a lot of our time is spent helping these families that don't quite meet our criteria yet. And once they are within our realm, it's really a special relationship that forms. These families are in a crisis mode. They don't know what to do. They think they're going to have to lose their best friend. And that's when we kind of guide them through it, tell them it's going to be okay, deep breaths, and walk them through it one step at a time. So our relationships with our success stories really are special. And we can name a lot of them and picture a lot of them by heart. It's really been a heartwarming experience at FACE.
Brooke, what have been the biggest challenges in being a foundation of this sort?
Well, the challenge is how many people need help with veterinary care, period. You know, we only help with life-threatening situations, but one of the things we see at FACE is there are oftentimes pet owners who can't even afford basic pet care and never expected that they would be in this situation. You know, you think, oh, I'm not going to be in a situation where my pet needs this or that. And unfortunately, a lot of people are struggling right now. And so I wish that we could help more. That's been a challenge. And then, of course, with the economy in 2008 onward, fundraising, of course, we need to do our best every year to get that money coming in. We rely on donations and fundraisers. But I'm so pleased to say that we've never had to deny a qualified applicant.
Fantastic. Brooke, we only have a minute or so left. Can you briefly describe your educational programs and opportunities and explain why they are important to your mission?
Absolutely. The E in FACE stands for education, and so we do have a youth humane education program. We feel it's incredibly important to do what we can to promote compassion in the community and also responsible pet ownership. So we go out into the community, work with kids to talk about how to safely approach animals, how to take care of animals and give pets the love they need. And then, of course, we educate everyone we come in contact with about the importance of spay and neuter and how we can play a part in eliminating pets in shelters and pet overpopulation in the community.
What advice would you like to give to my listeners or organizations that would like to begin a program like FACE?
Oh, I'd say, first of all, give us a call. We are happy to help. But I think that having the drive is the most important part. Once you are set and committed, you can make it happen. And I invite people to call us. We really have the process down. And for pet owner listeners, I do suggest pet insurance. It is something that some of our grantees have moved on to get, and they've found it very useful. And, of course, just responsible pet ownership, keeping dogs on leash, keeping them spayed and neutered, that kind of simple stuff goes a long way.
Brooke Haggerty, thank you so much. Can you tell my listeners your website?
Absolutely. That's www.faceforpets.org, and that's the number four, so faceforpets.org.
Brooke, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org, and I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Does the economy lows and the stock market volatility have you concerned about your ability to invest for retirement? Did you know that you can diversify part or all your retirement into more secure and potentially more lucrative investments? iDirect can show you how to buy real estate, tax liens, and more inside your IRA or 401k rollover. The investment opportunities are really limitless. You don't need to be at the mercy of the stock market with your IRA or 401k. You have options. Call now to learn more about buying alternative investments inside your retirement plan. To get the most value for this investment, you must have $25,000 in rollable retirement funds. Call iDirect now and get the info packet on self-directed IRA investing. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. That's 877-278-1030.
Covita Insurance Services is an insurance agency. Benefits, pricing, availability, and insurance companies vary by state. Policies contain limitations, exclusions, waiting period, termination, and renewal provisions. Call for details.
Honey, did you know that when Jamie's father passed away in that accident, his Social Security only paid her $255? The funeral alone cost her over $10,000. If anything ever happened to us, I don't want to leave that burden to the kids.
We won't, dear. We have a $25,000 guaranteed acceptance whole life insurance policy through Covita Insurance Services. And it helps with all kinds of final expenses like funerals, credit card debt, and medical bills.
That would have really helped Jamie.
And with guaranteed acceptance, there are no health questions or medical exams. Rates will never increase and benefits will never decrease. Plus, there's even a cash value benefit.
What about our age?
Anyone between the ages of 40 and 80 qualifies, and you can't be turned down for pre-existing conditions.
Talk to a Covita licensed agent today at 888-707-5175. That's 888-707-5175. 888-707-5175.
It's time to earn your MBA at DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. Keller professors share real-world experience so students graduate ready to advance in their careers. Get started with our merit-based Career Catalyst Scholarship with up to $8,000 for new students who qualify. Classes start October 27th. Full details at keller.edu/scholarships. For students who qualify and start by November 2014, subject to approval and availability of funds, DeVry University is authorized for operation by the TATC, certified to operate by CHED. In New York, DeVry University operates the DeVry College of New York.
GEICO RV presents Reflections from the Road.
After a few hours riding in my RV, I get in the zone. It's just me, the road, and the savings I get with GEICO RV insurance. There's no more worries, no more 9-to-5 hustle. It's like I'm a caged animal set free. What's that? Is it a grizzly bear? No, it's just me switching to GEICO RV insurance. Saving money, wild and free.
GEICO, for your RV, trailer, or camper. See how much you could save.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick, no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Laura. How are you doing?
Good. You know what just bothers me so much, what I saw the other day? I mean, so here we live in Palm Springs in the desert in summertime.
Yeah.
You know how hot it gets here. It's 107 today. People don't realize that the asphalt and concrete, the ground gets very hot when they walk their dogs.
Yeah.
So the other day, right.
Really hot.
Yes, very hot. So the other day, went to the market, and I'm seeing a person walk their dog from their car to the head of the market, and the dog is obviously uncomfortable, flipping up his legs like he doesn't want to touch the hot ground.
Yes.
And the owner is clueless and is just ignorant to the dog's suffering right there.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I see this frequently, actually.
Yeah.
I don't understand where the lack of insight comes along here. I mean, if it's... put your hand on the gas hole and it's hot.
If it's too hot for you to walk barefoot on the ground, then you know it's too hot for your dogs. And they really can get injured by this. I mean, bloody raw paws.
So that's a real thing that we see here, unfortunately.
It's a real thing.
But a lot of things bother you about people.
I know. But, you know, also, I do have a lot of pet peeves.
Hey, that's true.
But also, we're in the desert. So yeah. It's even extending that further. So, you know, people, stupid people leaving their pets in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the windows open.
Yeah.
They just don't know.
Or they are not doing what they should be doing.
They think a minute is okay.
Yeah.
And it's not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
So what other things are bothering you these days?
Well,
I mean, people and the way they treat their companion animals, their pets, these are your pet peeves, I would guess.
Right, that's right.
About people.
Called pet peeves.
Well, okay, hot paws, okay, everyone, I understand that. There's something that bothers me, and that is this trend of people buying dogs that are popular at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And this happens. This happened with the Dalmatians. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the Dalmatian movie that came out, and everyone wanted Dalmatians.
Yes, and then there's a glut of Dalmatians. They end up in the shelters, and you know what happens to many of them there.
Right, right.
And after that, another big example was the Portuguese water dog frenzy that followed the Obamas getting their Portuguese water dog, Bo. The demand goes crazy after that dog comes on the scene. Everyone wants a presidential dog.
You know, you encourage them, adopt. Then they end up getting a dog. Oh, what dog did you get?
Yeah.
Oh, same kind that our president has.
Yeah.
Portuguese water dog.
Yeah.
Huh. Right. You bought a dog from a breeder.
So this. So you're that's a general sort of thing for you.
Yeah, right? that is a general thing for me. Breeders, pet peeve, number one pet peeve. is breeders. Yeah, well, that's just another broken Obama campaign promise, right? He wanted to adopt. Remember, he stated he's going to adopt?
Yes.
And that would have been a huge...
Okay, this is not an Obama
This is about
section. This is about pet peeves.
This is about pet peeves.
Back on track.
Okay. How about toenail polish on dogs?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that a pet peeve?
That is legit.
Okay.
Right there. Okay.
Halloween costumes, is that a pet peeve?
Okay. So yes, that could be. If you say it bothers you, then it's your pet peeve, and I would say that. And I have to say, I've seen some cute Halloween costumes, some that are probably hazards to the dogs wearing them, right?
Right.
And some on cats. I don't think you want to put on a costume on your. Most cats don't want a costume on them.
Most dogs don't want a costume.
But the nail polish. I mean, what does that say about the guardian of your dog? I don't know, but especially multicolored nail polish on your dog's. On your dog's toenails.
What's the point?
I know, that's why.
Tell me why, please.
Okay. Something more serious, I would say.
Okay.
Another, I know this one bugs you a lot, and that is seeing testicles.
Number one pet peeve. Testicles on dogs. Number one pet peeve, right?
Okay, yes.
Or number two.
Well,
okay.
A lot of number ones. They're tied for number one. And all the
these dogs should be fixed.
Yeah.
Why aren't you fixing your dogs?
I don't know. There's a thousand worthless reasons.
Right.
And so get it together, people.
Okay.
Okay.
How about biking with the dogs? So someone's on a bike,
yes.
Taking a stroll. They have a leash, and the dog's on the other end of the leash.
Right.
It worries me.
Yeah.
What if the dog sees a squirrel or a rabbit and runs across or...
Oh, no, my dog is perfectly trained.
Right, right, right.
My dog has self-control and is obedience trained.
Right.
So that would never happen. He would never run in front of me either or lunge toward a car.
Right, exactly.
So that's that's the logic on that. It doesn't make sense. It's, can some dogs deal with this? Maybe. I don't like it. It always worries me. I'm driving by and I do not... have confidence that dog is going to stay on the sidewalk or on the side of the street.
What if the dog has to relieve himself?
Well?
And stop. What if the dog gets tired, wants to sit?
Well, that's another aspect. I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of people with their dogs who are riding don't sort of, they overestimate what the dog can do.
Right.
And that, okay. And it's 100 degrees, people.
Right.
Wear your doggy sandals. Oh, what do you think about these clogs on the paws?
Oh, clogs. Yeah.
Some dogs don't want
anything on their feet.
Anything on their feet, right?
Right.
They don't want you to touch their paws. They don't want you to spray. They don't want anyone.
Although some dogs are okay with it.
I understand. So if your dog happens not to like Nikes on their paws, and you're outfitting them anyway, and they are high stepping, as if they wish they could kick those things off, that's not a nice thing.
Yeah,
they don't say, "Look how fashionable my dog's shoes are."
Well, let's clear this up. That's okay. For fashion, right? And then you have these little protective wear for hiking, and that's different, right?
All right.
But yeah, the fashion thing is silly, especially with the high stepping, as you call it. I like that, high stepping.
Well, a thing that bugs me, here's another tied for first place, I would say. You're walking along, and there is a lonely dog behind someone's gate at their house.
And you can sort of
peek through it, and they're looking out with their sad eyes, and they're saying to you, "I wish I had a companion.
Oh.
I'm here alone, and I'm in a house, but I would like to have some other companions with me.
I know.
Can I come out and play with you?"
And I go up, "Hi, sweetheart, how are you?"
Yes, and they're wagging their tail. They just want a little companionship.
Yeah.
So that bugs me.
And especially when you see them out a lot, like they're just left out there.
Yeah.
You know, and they look so bored and lonely.
So is that another general Kirshner rule I can state here?
Yes.
That all dogs should have at least another dog companion?
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Right.
A dog, you know, some dogs are one dog family dogs.
Okay.
Right?
All right. But when you encounter, so the difference you encounter one, you see he or she is lonely.
Oh, definitely.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
All right.
So when the guardians come out, you got to say something.
Yeah.
"Hey, your dog looks lonely. How about adopting another dog?"
Right. And they say, "Oh, sure, good idea. I had not thought of that before. Thank
you.
Or they say, "Mind your own business."
That's right.
Usually get that.
Right. Or I'll get an Obama dog.
Get a water dog? Okay, stop.
Okay. Okay. What else?
You know, the folks who acquire a dog and they are second thing that you hear from them is which breeder they got them from or the lineage. Okay. Or
they're proud of it.
That's right. The pride that comes along with the purchase. And all that goes with that. That bugs me a lot, especially knowing all the excess dogs we have in our shelters, right?
Right.
And also the purebred dogs that are available for adoption in the shelter.
Why are you proud that you bought it from a breeder?
Right. Now,
so I give them that look.
You give them the look?
I give them the Lori look.
Yes. And do they understand the look?
They know the Lori look.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this... prideful statements are going to fade away.
It's similar to the breeders or the people that breed dogs to sell.
Yes.
You know, and they find out we're involved in the animal world and we love animals. And, "Oh, we have a lot in common, Dr. Lori. I love dogs, too. I breed dogs."
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you love dogs.
I know.
Okay. Is that all the pet peeves?
There are so many more, but
there
are many more. But here's the final one to wrap it up, okay? Elderly person adopting a dog that's much too young for them.
Oh, yes.
Okay? So if you are in your 80s, please don't get a puppy or a one-year-old dog. That's very wishful thinking, folks.
And I have one more pet peeve.
Okay,
I'm going to squeeze in here. When you're walking your dogs and you see other people not picking up their dog's business, so you see a pile of poop on someone's lawn, our neighbors are going to think it's us. We do the same routine every morning, right, walking our dogs.
Yes.
And they're going to say, "Okay, there's Lori and Peter's dog's poop they don't pick up," right?
Definitely. We've been falsely accused.
We have been falsely accused.
And I don't know anyone who cleans up better than we do.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Nice list of pet peeves.
You can talk to me. You can talk to me. You can talk to me. If you're lonely, you can talk to me.
Oh.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized. And shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Beautiful Bellawood flooring just got even better with twice the scratch resistance and four times the abrasion resistance of other brands. And right now, Lumber Liquidators has exclusive deals on Bellawood with savings up to 40%. Choose from over 140 varieties, including Brazilian cherry, American walnut, even Bellawood's hot new matte finish that gives you that oil-finished look without all the maintenance, all with a transferable 100-year warranty. So go to LumberLiquidators.com today to find a store nearest you. First ever 30 6-month financing is available, but hurry, these amazing deals end Tuesday.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep because someone broke into her apartment and stole all her sheep, not to mention a 50-inch flat-screen TV. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped her with renter's insurance, and she got full replacement. She has since trained her sheep to do voice impressions of various attack dogs, and now feels very safe. Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
The flu, pneumonia, whooping cough, hepatitis A, shingles, meningitis, tetanus. That's a scary list. But did you know immunizations can protect you from every one? You didn't? Well, we do. Rite Aid pharmacists are certified to immunize against the most common preventable diseases. Find out what immunizations you need with a free immunization evaluation at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Availability and age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Are you concerned about the effect bug repellent chemicals have on your family's health? Now there's Cedarside, an organic bug spray. Cedarside carries a suite of pest control products made from all-natural cedar oil. They kill and repel a variety of bugs, yet they're not at all harmful to people, pets, or the environment. To order, go to Cedarside.com or call 800-842-1464. 800-842-1464. Cedarside, effective pest control that's safe for people, pets, and premises.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
It's time to earn your MBA at DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. Keller professors share real-world experience so students graduate ready to advance in their careers. Get started with our merit-based Career Catalyst Scholarship with up to $8,000 for new students who qualify. Classes start October 27th. Full details at keller.edu/scholarships. For students who qualify and start by November 2014, subject to approval and availability of funds, DeVry University is authorized for operation by the TAGC, certified to operate by CHEV. In New York, DeVry University operates the DeVry College of New York.
Little Jack Horner sat in a corner of his ransacked apartment, wondering what kind of nitwit steals a futon. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped him with renter's insurance, and he got full replacement. Unfortunately, little Jack Horner had to have his stomach pumped when he ate a 6-month-old Christmas pie. Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Lori, how are you?
Good. I just want to remind our listeners, Animals Today, the website, check it out, animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to all the archive prior shows, our archive right there on the website for you. Right, Peter?
5 years and more.
5 years. Has it been that long?
Time flies.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's animalstodayradio.com.
So you go there and you can click on listen to past shows, and then you get this menu that goes by year, and you can see the title of the show, the guests of the show, and you can click, depending on your browser, and it'll just play for you right there.
And you can share the link with others.
That would be a great thing to do because, you know, more the merrier.
Right. Educate others. And Animals Today is paid for by Advancing the Interests of Animals. It's a 501c3 nonprofit animal welfare organization, Advancing the Interest of Animals, AIAnimals.org. Check them out, AIAnimals.org. And listen, if you like what you hear, you want us to keep doing this, we really could use your help. AIAnimals.org, financial donation of any amount would be so greatly appreciated. Thank you. And Peter, why don't you tell the listeners about this wonderful campaign we're launching actually this next week or so?
Extending actually from following a pilot that Advancing the Interests of Animals conducted in the fall of 2013. And this was essentially a regional push to provide educational and informational material to the predominantly Spanish-speaking listeners and members of our community. And we're down here in Southern California. We're in the what we call the Coachella Valley. This is the Palm Springs area. And
Close to 50% of the people are Spanish-speaking, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And there are some households where Spanish is the main language, many of them.
Right.
And we did a little research and discovered that there's very little material that speaks to responsible guardianship about dogs and cats in Spanish available anywhere
right.
in the States.
Right.
And we dug further and concluded that it would be a worthwhile thing to try to provide some of this information and sort of, you know, educational lessons to the people who live with us down here who speak Spanish.
Right. And it was a multimedia approach, right?
Multimedia. So we produced these great radio PSAs, 1 minute spots that two of the local stations were kind enough to broadcast us pretty frequently. So that was really cool of them.
The Spanish radio stations here
that's
in the
right.
Valley. Right. That's
right.
Exactly right. And the public service announcements, mainly about all issues related to responsible pet guardianship. Right. So, fix your animal.
Yep. Get them.
Adopt, don't buy.
Right.
Licensing. Keep them out of the heat.
Stuff like that.
Get
them checked at the vet.
Right.
All the things that you should do.
Report animal cruelty. That was that was a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were played. We had music beds on them. It was just really nicely produced. And if you want to listen to any of those, you go back to the AI Animals website and just find them. You can just hear them and get a flavor of what they're like. They're just up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was one element of this campaign. And then we also wrote a series of newspaper articles that were then translated in Spanish. There's a predominantly Spanish, there's Spanish language newspaper in the area called La Prensa. And we, similar topics that we wrote about 300 to 500 word articles about a responsible guardianship of our dogs and cats.
Right.
And these were published. And these
on
also,
a weekly basis?
Yeah.
In English and Spanish, actually.
That's right. And print and online.
That's right.
Right. And so we have a sample of those also on the website if you want to see what those look like. And we also, by the way, going back to the radio PSAs, if you want to read the text of these spots, because it's an art to write a radio spot, isn't it?
It sure is,
you know,
to get it right at 30 or 60 seconds.
That and does it sound good? Is it confusing?
Right.
And so if you want to see the text, the copy of these PSAs, they're also on the website too, and they're a resource if you want to borrow them or do them locally, feel free.
Right.
Yeah. So then we've got these newspaper articles, and then the third element of this campaign were the educational flyers.
Right. We passed out thousands of those.
So we printed up 10,000 of them, I think.
Right.
These big canary yellow, large format. And then one side, you've got English language. And we, by the way, called the campaign Happy and Safe Dogs and Cats.
Yep, that's the name of the campaign, right?
And in English and in Spanish.
And we have a cute little logo, and
And on the one side English, the other side you've got Spanish, and a series of really bullet point paragraphs reminding people about the important elements of sort of responsible guardianship of our dogs and cats, predominantly. And these are everywhere. So that was so much fun, and we learned certain things. You know, not everything went exactly as we would have imagined, but you know, this is the point of doing a trial.
It was a great pilot project trial, and it was 3 months.
3 months,
and lots
of people became familiar with it, and people were listening on the radio. We know we were sort of getting through the clutter
and great feedback,
right? And so. We just endeavored to carry this on. And so beginning in just a week or two, we are deploying phase two, and which is going to sort of, we hope, go indefinitely. And this time we've got a new, more better flyer, right, with color and better graphics.
And better PSAs.
And we're redoing the public service announcements.
We'll continue the articles.
We've got more fresh ones that it's the same, you know, core of, you know, 5 to 7 basic topics, made fresh and made interesting and topical in English and Spanish. Right.
And we're going to add the billboards
a
fourth element of our multimedia campaign here.
So we've been working hard to develop some catchy billboards.
In Spanish.
In Spanish. That's another interesting thing to try to not flub.
Right, exactly.
So we've got some billboards, and we want to thank everyone for their support in deploying and sustaining this this important campaign to provide this information to people who speak Spanish.
Right. And if you like what we're doing, this is it's an educational outreach for the Spanish-speaking communities, and we're going to hopefully, like Peter said, deploy it here in a greater extent in Palm Springs area and in L.A. area, too, L.A. areas. So check us out, AIAnimals.org. We're doing great work. Thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.